Welcome back to the program. I'm Zev Brenner, and I know we've covered a lot of Holocaust stories, but we're looking at something which is really a lightning and with pictures and photos. I'm referring to a brand new book that just came out, and we're going to tell you about that in just a moment. Let me introduce our author, Susan B. McGee. She's has a very diverse career involved in Washington and business and politics, but 26 years ago, she turned from business to matters of the heart. She became a mediator, a healer. She has a long-time friendship with Kalman Aaron, whose story we're going to tell you tonight. And she posed for him when she was 6 years old, and that led a half a century later where the artist asked her to write his story, and she spent countless hours interviewing his family, his friends, and later she went to Europe, traversing across Riga, 7-7 slave labor and concentration camps in Latvia, Poland, Germany, then Czechoslovakia, to find to Vienna. And her labor of love has just come out. It's called Into the Light, The Healing Art of Kalman Aaron. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You gave up business. Did you ever think one day that you're going to be giving up the glamour of business and politics and get into meditation and Holocaust?
No, it was not on the canvas. It wasn't on the screen. It was a complete stunner, not only to me, but to all of my friends.
Because you put together a gorgeous book, and you're telling a story through pictures, through art.
Through paintings, that's right.
Through paintings.
That's right.
It's a stunning, gorgeous book. How did it all come about? Because you posed at 6 years old for Kalman, and then how did he get to ask you that so many years later, 50 years later?
Yeah, it's a wonderful story. My mother was an interior decorator in L.A., and she saw a pastel portrait of a black-eyed boy, and she had lost a black-eyed baby at 9 months. And it went right to her heart, and she asked the gallery owner who did it, and she was told an emigre who had survived the Holocaust. And she said, and also she learned then that he in part survived by drawing sketches of guards, and they would bring photos to the camps and have him draw their children. So she said, I'd like him please to come and paint not only my two living daughters, but the black-eyed baby that I lost. They became friends for a lifetime. She referred all of her clients to him and kept him busy doing portraits throughout the 50s. And I have known him all these years, and I was visiting him in 2003. I was seeing my mom in Palm Springs, and I called Kalman in L.A., and I said, bring some art out. I'm going to be visiting. He had just seen The Pianist, and he said to me, I've never wanted to tell my story. It gave me permission to do it. I've been asked many times over my lifetime to do a book or a film. I've never trusted them, and completely out of the blue, Zev, he turned to me and he said, Susan, will you write my story? What's interesting is, about 16 years, when I started meditating, 16 years before then, this huge book came out of my body, and I looked for a title, there was none. I looked for a table of contents, there was none. And I said, what is this about? And what I heard was good and evil. I said, tell me more, not now. And it was such a powerful experience. When Kalman asked me, I knew this was the book I had seen in that vision 16 years before, so I took it very seriously.
Now, what makes it even more fascinating, because obviously Kalman went through the horrors of the Holocaust going from a Jewish perspective, you yourself come from a completely different background.
That's right. That's right. I've been raised a Christian. I have an ecumenical spirit. I've always had great respect for all traditions, and certainly the Judaic tradition as well. But interesting that he ended up asking a Gentile to write his story.
And was it difficult? Could you have to immerse yourself? Because obviously part of your research was immersing yourself in the Jewish world that existed pre-Holocaust.
No, it was fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I knew that in order to write this, I had to go to where he lived, and I went to Riga. I found the street where he lived. I found the buildings are still there where the ghetto was formed in 1941. I found the camps. The Latvian Holocaust is not as well known, but basically 70 to 75,000 Jews lived in Latvia before the war. At the end of the war, there were only 1,000, and they killed them very quickly. And I found the three camps that he was in the Latvian forest. I mean, today they're just trees. And then I went on to Stutthof and to Buchenwald, Reimsdorf. And even at Reimsdorf, it was a sub-camp. where he was working in a synthetic gasoline factory with the other prisoners all day long. Those barracks are still there, and I found a man who had been a Hitler youth, and he had created a memorial for these prisoners, for these slave laborers. And then, of course, Theresienstadt, and I could not have written the book had I not been in those places.
So that certainly gave you a different perspective. How has your experience going there changed you?
Very, very good question. When I started, I said to myself, and I said to Kalman, I can never really know and understand what you went through. The interesting thing is there have been times in working on this book where I have been dealing with the terror that he experienced, and words like despair don't describe the feelings, but I can feel them in my meditations, and I realize I know that terror. So that surprised me, and fundamentally I know that I don't have an answer yet completely as to how it's transformed me. It's taught me things like Kalman never gave up hope. He used all of his resources in order to survive and get a piece of bread, and as he said, 1 minute at a day at a time, not 1 day at a time, 1 minute at a time. He always had a strong connection to nature. He used to paint landscapes as a boy, as well as people. And he told me in Buchenwald, the Nazis couldn't remove the stars from the sky, nor could they stop the sun from rising in the morning. So his connection to nature nurtured and sustained him through the Holocaust and then beyond. So I realize, we are all connected. What we do to one of us, we do to each other. And the ultimate story of Kalman story, it's the triumph of the human spirit over unspeakable evil. But even more than that, it's a story about we have to find peaceful resolution to our conflict. We cannot continue to kill each other. And the other big piece, which wasn't new to me because I am a healer, Kalman resolved all this stuff, his interior landscape, if you will, on canvas. I've done it through a process of hypnotherapy and meditation. We all find our ways to transform the trauma that we've experienced in our history. It's critical. I don't think we find peace, Zev, until each of us do our own little homework inside ourselves to find out where our own sorrow and hatred and rage and loss rest. When we deal with those, we create a peace inside ourselves, and then we create peace around us.
But in the case of Kalman and other Holocaust survivors, their world was changed, not because of any of their doings. They were put, unfortunately, and 6 million of their brothers and sisters were put in that situation where they could have had that tranquility, but circumstances beyond their control put them in a whole different scenario and situations.
That's right. And coming out of that experience, there's a certain rage, understandable anger, fear and hatred that Kalman had to work out over a lifetime.
He worked it out through his paintings.
Through his paintings. And you can see it in his paintings. The first landscapes he did in L.A. were just all gray, and there was no color and no people and no animals and no trees. 30 years later, his landscapes are full of color and light and texture. Same thing. He's always painted children, and the first children that he painted in the 50s are totally alone, surrounded by blackness, in a fog. That's what he saw. And then 25, 30 years later, he captures all the light and curiosity in a child's face and child's eyes. In the book, you look at his self-portraits. He's a walking skeleton in his Marching in the Camps watercolor that he did in 1951. Then at age 30, he did a drawing, and he's half is in darkness and half is in light. His eyes aren't focused together, so he's still living in two realities, still in the Holocaust and still in L.A. And then finally in his 40s, he does a self-portrait, and the colors return to his face, but his eyes still carry the sorrow. So he had to work all of that out, and he didn't do it cognitively. He just literally worked it out with a paintbrush and a canvas.
His body
of art becomes a sacred vessel of that powerful transformation and healing for anyone to touch and see and experience.
I guess his life experiences in this country colored him.
Well, yes, it became a sanctuary in this country, L.A. And this was interesting because I grew up there, and I thought, what did L.A. give to Kalman? Sunshine. he got so cold in the Holocaust, he can't bear to get cold. So the first thing he got in this country was warmth. The second thing, in Los Angeles and in America, there are no confining walls. There are open vistas, and he had been confined in camps and prisons. So he gained that sanctuary of being in a place that was safe. The third thing for an artist is L.A. is a creative, it's a home of creativity. But the fourth thing, which I think is most interesting, of the way in which L.A. gave him sanctuary, it allowed him to be a successful artist all of his life and show in galleries and museums, but sort of stay under the radar. He believed in the Holocaust that he taught himself how to become invisible. And this voice of survival said, stay invisible, don't let them see you. You watch them intently, but don't let them see you. That carried, that belief was in his cells until at age 78 he dared to say, I'm going to remember, and I'm going to have a book written, and I'm going to be seen. And we had lots of hospital visits during the 9 years we worked together on this book. Lots of nightmares again coming and lots of racing heartbeats, because he really did believe that if he were seen, he'd be killed. So it took enormous courage for him to tell this story and allow a book to be written.
And when we come back, we will continue to focus on a fascinating book that's called Into the Light, The Healing Art of Kalman Aaron. Our guest, Susan B. McGee, spent 9 years working with artist, Holocaust survivor Kalman Aaron. She gave up a career in politics and business to meditate and learn about the Holocaust and write a book about it, her first. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.